Thanks. I think this is a good way to connect to the previous talk. It's just a good point where Lisa left and I can continue. And thanks for the invitation for this presentation to the organizers here. What I'm trying to do here, maybe some of you have already seen some of the slides many times, but I just try to show some of the things what we have done in the last 15 years, including various research in related to soil moisture and soil properties, and the variability, persistence, and control. So I need to acknowledge the funding from NASA and NSF, as well as my students. Those have contributed over time. Soil moisture, I think if you know very well, actually I'm not going to give a lot of answers today. I'm going to give more opportunities that what we need to do beyond agronomy. People have done a lot of research in the very fine scale and the field scale to understand the soil moisture dynamics for agricultural purposes. But the interest lies for soil moisture from many different aspects, including water management, hydrology, flood forecasting, climate prediction, all these things where the scale of interest is much bigger than our agriculture, where we are trying to do, where we try to do only the fine scale or local scale processes. So, for example, here we are talking about a climate prediction where the degree of variations are a couple of degrees, where all the climate modelers do the simulations and where soil moisture is kind of a boundary condition. So from that perspective, we need to understand various different things that controls and contribute to your soil moisture dynamics at the local scale as well as at larger scale. So in other words, what I try to say here is that if you look at the near surface soil moisture, that is pretty important as a boundary condition for many of these processes. But also, it is kind of a signature for the subsurface processes that happens below the ground. I mean, that means essentially going to deeper bedrock zone processes. If you really look in a very simplistic way, you can see that the plant's topography, here, of course, it looks like a flat land, but runoff, run-on, all these other events and the processes that occurs around this environment are going to control your soil moisture dynamics. So in other words, can we represent some processes at different scales that can inherit it, can go from one scale to another, or there are different principles that will guide the scaling processes across these different spatiotemporal scales? To say that, at a minimum, let's start with our pore scale processes, where we try to look into all these processes that do happen at the minerals and water and your root channels, et cetera, et cetera. And we at most go to the field scale, where we try to understand the agricultural perspective. But many of our applications that go beyond that, so you go to the watershed scale, you go to the regional scale, where your climate and other extreme weather conditions persist, and even global scale, where your climate change is important to understand. And soil moisture is one of the drivers and controllers, in that case, for these processes. What we have done in the past, in last several years, or last couple of decades, you can say, we start with these fine-scale processes where we are measuring our soil moisture at centimeter scale, and then we go to the fine, to the field scale or to the phase scale, where we measure using different, as Brian showed, the truck-mounted or tower-based sensing. We then go to the larger scale airborne sensors, where we use various different techniques like ASTAR, PSR from NOAA and NASA to understand the soil moisture dynamics, and all the way to the larger scale AQUA or SMAP, which is going to come up in the coming few years. And actually, just to mention here, SMOS has been flying right now for a year from ESA. That gives you a 36 kilometer or 40 kilometer product at the microwave sensing, passive microwave sensing, as well as the finer scale with a radar at 4 kilometer resolutions. So what we are trying to say here, whether the processes and understanding what we have at this scale are valid at the other scales, or we need to understand better for the understanding and translating the information from this scale to the larger scale. So basically, just to give a remote sensing 101, we try to just use the signature that the soil moisture shows through the dielectric properties, and then we just filter out based on the vegetation type or your microtopographic features in a particular location and how it looks like. And we take that signature and try to build our temporal variations of soil moisture across different scales. So I would rather put an objective rather than putting goals. We have not completed our mission, but we have learned a little bit so far through our past and ongoing activities. We have done several field campaigns across the globe, you can say, or more in the US from 1997 or before that also, all the way to 2007, as well as we have done something in the last summer as well. We try to understand the temporal stability or persistence of the soil moisture at different locations, try to understand what are the physical mechanisms, whether it is your soil is contributing or you have some other features like topographic features or precipitation dynamics or your vegetation that would control a different spatial and temporal scales. Then we also try to, once we understand that, try to develop the upscaling and downscaling schemes to for the rules for the soil moisture. That is how to take this physical control understanding and develop the appropriate scaling mechanisms. And then once we know this between the discrete steps or discrete measurements, can we do a multi-scale data simulation approaches that we can, from these scaling schemes, so we can fill in the gaps because your applications may not fit to your measurements. So in other words, we try to get some assimilation schemes going to give you the right answer for the right applications. Just to give a snapshot of our CalVal activities, typically what we do essentially, we have the satellite moving. Well, we have these airplanes with certain sensors giving you a finer scale measurements. And at the same time, we have our ground measurements where we are getting the point scale values at multiple locations during the same window of time. This is just a typical soil moisture remote sensing and the data sets, how it looks like for, let's say, the NASA AMSA. In a global scale, where you have a 1.5 days interval of soil moisture measurements, and you see the values contribute across the globe, but they are just near the skin of this land surface here. For the airborne sensors, you can see the dynamics of soil moisture as it progresses with time. It basically varies from dry, and as there is a rainfall event, so it basically got wet and eventually dries out again. So we try to understand how these different measurements and the scales are going to contribute into our understanding. So what we have done in this recent past or last decade, we have taken a bunch of different locations across the country here, including Little Wasita, which is one of the major hub here, and then several other locations across the country to mimic some of these different hydroclimatic scenarios where the soil moisture may have different scaling rules or different properties or different variabilities that we need to capture. So including one of this Walnut Creek that just the previous presentation showed. So this is typically what we do. We go to these large landscapes or these big footprints of these remote sensors. We collect the soil moisture using GPS and GIS techniques, as well as we use these theta probes or ground sampling, other different techniques. As well as we have some truck and radars that go across the fields to give you the soil moisture at different spatial locations. So we collect a bunch of numbers during the window of time that the satellite flies or the airplane flies above us. Just look in from a physical perspective. So if these are the fields that is in Oklahoma, and this is one field, you can see that these values or the topography varies a lot. So how would I describe my soil moisture across these different landscapes? Can I describe there is a rule, or can I do the semi-heregrams, or can I do something that can give me a rule that where I can extrapolate the information from a local scale to the scale of my interest here? Same thing, if I go the correspondingly the vegetation, you can see the vegetation is also varying a lot across these locations. And the third thing is your soil. Of course, that is more familiar to us. But when you look in large patches, large landscapes, your soil may be a combination of all these different textures, maybe clay through sand. So how do you assimilate all this information or synthesize this information from these different contributors into our soil moisture dynamics at different scales? Maybe some of these results can be summarized into couple of the slides here. You can see these are the different combinations of vegetation, where you have mixture of vegetation and you have the slope, the topographic features. You have differences in the soil types. Same thing here, you can compare between these different footprints, which is like a kilometer by kilometer, and how these different combinations of these factors are going to contribute to your soil moisture signature. Just looking at this information, you can see that just a mean value for a sandy loam and a rangeland soil with a rolling topography is kind of on the ball here. Basically, it falls one-to-one line when you take a local value with a large-scale footprint from airborne sensors. On the other hand, if you go to a silt loam soil and same other vegetation and topographic features, there is an upside. Basically, it deviates quickly just by changing your soil type. If you go to another soil, which is a different silt loam soil, the same soil but with a different type of combination of vegetation, and with the flat topography, you can see the spread is much bigger, and also it contributes to the management factor that we also account during these field campaigns where you have tillage effects and other things that creates this bigger distribution of soil moisture. So having said that, with all this information, what we have found, we have taken all these 15 years of data from different campaigns, just let's say in one or two different fields here in SGP 97, which is the Southern Great Plains 97 experiment, and we came back to the same field or same location in 99. And this is actually a synthesis of about 1,000 or 2,000 pixels. And this is just a relative difference picture versus their distances, the rank. And you can see that there are certain portions which is the time stable. And what we have done here, we have taken those time stable pixels and we try to relate them to different contributors or the physical controls. So if you really look at into this, these are pretty small here, but this is like clay. There is a relationship with clay. There is relationship with the topographic features. That means essentially from mild slope to more depression, there is a relation as well with the soil moisture. And there is also percentage sand. We have also another relations where the vegetation at this scale of a pixel, there is not much relation. There's much more variability. So it essentially shows that different portions, different factors contribute at different scale for the soil moisture persistence. Just to plot everything in a context here, this is the exactly the Little Washita watershed. You can see these bullets essentially show the time stable features when we account for these 2 years of data coming from 1997 to 1999. So essentially these bullets show that whenever there is a loamy soil, sandy loam or loam or various different patches, that is where your time stable features located. In other words, that we don't have to go to the whole watershed, and if we know the values near these values, at least we can capture the average value or average signature for your whole watershed. And if you really go even finer, and you can actually see the slope, and particularly when you relate the slope, you can see mostly this high slope or in a higher elevation, these time stable features are located. Whereas in the depression and your low valley, you don't have that kind of the time stable features. This is another example from Walnut Creek watershed. This includes 2002-2005 data sets. These are some at the field scale where we have about several hundred points. And this is also a field scale. We can see where the points of time persistent values lies. On the other hand, at the watershed scale, we can see that it varies because your time stable features are also dependent on your overall hydrogeologic setup and as well as the climatic distributions across that scale. So in other words, here the controlling mechanisms are not necessarily what we found in Oklahoma. It is slightly different where you have these different soil types for different vegetation coverages as well as your topographic features. In this particular case, you can see some of these factors are on this higher elevation side and on the higher slope side, the low slope side compared to the Oklahoma side. And similarly, there are certain other features that are contributed to the Walnut Creek compared to the other locations across the country. This is more a summarizing for different scales here. You can see field scale to watershed scale to the regional scale, which is several hundred kilometers. We have just done a simple EOF analysis, the empirical orthogonal functional analysis, basically the spectral analysis, to show the variance, how these variance of different parameters vary in across these different scales. So if you really look at this field scale, you have one big factor that contributes, and then there are smaller factors that contribute in a tapered manner, like in exponential manner. So basically, you can see that also in this picture. In the watershed scale, there are two contributing factors, maybe the soil and topography, that contributes more than any other places here. And this is, you can also see the signatures here. So this is kind of during this campaign. regional scale, this is more of the precipitation dynamics that is controlling your soil moisture. That is the single most factor, important factor that contributes to your soil moisture dynamics at this particular larger scale. Just see that signature at the larger scale, which is about several kilometers in Iowa. You can see that the 72% of the variants are described by this precipitation dynamics. And it goes, irrespective of whether it is a wet day or an average day or a dry day, you still see that precipitation signature, whereas you miss all the other signatures in this particular field. That essentially means the variances are much low in these other factors. So what we found out over these 15 years of work, in other words, from these different locations, that is kind of our hypothesis we are trying to say, that different physical controls dominate at different large scales here. So basically, we say field scale, soil dominates, watershed, topography, and somewhere soil. And as you go further and further in the ladder, it is vegetation and precipitation are kind of the contributing factors here. So what essentially it sums up to, that as we go from the scale, from field scale to the regional scale, these factors are contributing and slowly fading out as we go further and further in our scale to the continental scale. This may give us some of the ideas that what we should focus and what kind of parameters we need to scale up as surrogates when we try to deal with this different field scale to watershed scale to even larger scale. So what we have done in the last few years, try to develop various upscaling and downscaling schemes to take all this information and try to upscale these hydrologic parameters that can give you the right soil moisture at different scales. So this is just a paper that was published in a couple of years ago, where we take these point scale parameters and try to satisfy our large scale remote sensing data, which is coming from a satellite, using various stochastic methods like Markov's and Monte Carlo schemes, and eventually developing a assimilated product that goes to the scale of your interest. That essentially goes to your scale of your applications of several kilometers or whatever you are applying for climate predictions or flood forecasting or any other things that you can translate these point scale values through this likelihood to this final product that goes to the applications. Just besides these two points, we also have developed some multi-scale bridging model where we try to take these fine scale models that essentially you can do a SBAT model, which is like Hydrus or SWAP or anything of that order at the fine scale and propagate. Or you can also take this coarse resolution AMSR data or any other remote sensing data and try to do a data assimilation. So basically we have taken like a wavelet approach. We try to aggregate these fine scale products to the more intermediate products, and then we assimilate the information by using these different new generation satellite products and eventually come up with a more finer and better product for soil moisture at intermediate scale. So between the fine scale, which is like local scale, to the very coarse remote sensing scale, we are getting the product at the much intermediate scale for different applications. One of the key features here is that some of these things are relating to the scaling parameters are basically we come back to the physical controls. So basically this is the controlling mechanism or the physical parameter, scaling parameter, where you are trying to take the sand fraction, for example, NDVI, which describes the vegetation, slope, precipitation. We try to take all this information and try to use as a scale parameter in such certain ways, based on what we found from our experiments, from all our experience over this last so many years from those particular fields. Just to give an example here, just the Arizona site, which is a much more sandy soil, you can see the relationship between the fine scale and coarse scale is much more linear. And so eventually it gives you a time, in the time horizon, it gives you a very linear proportional effect at different scale resolutions. When you take the same thing, you can just deconvolute your complex data from this coarse resolution to these finer resolutions by just simple linear scaling. On the other hand, when you go to the Iowa side, which is much more like clay soil with rolling topography and other things, we found out between the coarse scale and the fine scale, there is a subtle difference and it's much more nonlinear. And you can see that also as you propagate your information from different resolutions, these things are also changing with resolutions. So basically, as with time, your scaling parameter need to evolve to give you the right answer for the right scale. So this is also the product that comes. So suppose this is your AMSR data and how you deconvolute the information to these different resolutions. is going to, based on that scaling schemes, and it gives you the finer different, different scales, and it gives you the eventually these values at different resolutions that can be used for hydrologic predictions and other things. Just to give you an example on the effect of topography, because we talked soil, we talked vegetation, but topography is a very critical factor at the hill slope or a watershed scale. So just we have done a bunch of synthetic and some of the actual studies in different locations. This is just part of the synthetic study we have done. Let's take a gentle slope versus steep slope and a convex slope and a concave slope. And we have done multi-resolution finite element mesh, basically by aggregating the information from 30 meter all the way to 120 to 240 meter. And using these materials and aggregating the soil properties and the soil moisture information, we have run the Hydrus 3D model to show how different or how equal or how similar they are for these different resolutions. So our main idea was to, if you take this fine scale information, run the Hydrus, what are the fluxes and states in these different pixels? If we aggregate the information to maybe 60 meter, how it is going to change? When you aggregate all the way to the 240 meter, how it is going to change? So our eventual idea to restore the hydrologic balance, that whether they match or they don't mismatch, there is some error in our water balance. We have taken this topographic-based scaling parameter, where we are basically not a mean-based, but more like a mode-based, which is more the occurrence. So we have taken this based on the topographic-based scaling feature. So this is the factor that scale up or scale down, depending on where you are in your resolutions. And then this is the result. Basically, I wanted to show you the result, how different they are. So this is your gentle topography. This is more like a steep topography. This is the convex and concave slopes. You can see this for the same soil moisture, same starting initial conditions, with everything same, with parameters similarly distributed, you have differences in your overall distributions. So when you try to upscale or downscale, you need to account for some of these kind of things to really preserve the characteristics of soil moisture dynamics in those different locations. We have validated it with in a watershed, which is your Little Wasita watershed. We have taken a bunch of these A-star footprints where you have these different complexities of topographic features. And we have also stream gauges measuring soil the stream flow. We have A-star soil moisture giving you the soil moisture distributions across time. We have all the soil information and precipitation information and topography information. So we have used all this information to prove what we are trying to say, that the scaling method need to be adapted based on your topographic features. And we also have accounted the flow routing in this particular exercise. This is the typical pixel selected, where we have all the different complexities of soil topography in this particular pixels. And we're trying to see, under these different complexities, whether our scaling method works or how close they are or how different they are. So basically, what we have shown here is when we try to do the simulation in 3D with our soil moisture and stream flow, we try to see that whether they match or they don't match. So this is one of my students just finished his PhD, that is his work, and basically we are trying to match it. In most occasions, we found by proper scaling, we match to our stream flow gauges better than our typically otherwise, if you just take the regular linear scaling and some of the other features that we typically do. We have done it at several locations, and there are, of course, there are certain lags here because there are some routing time taken there. But we are finding much better relationship than the linear scaling features. And at the same time, I just wanted to show that for different types of gentle versus steep slopes, the aggregation schemes show that how the soil moisture dynamics vary from this finer scale to coarser scale. So there is no uniformity across these different slope types. So you need to account for this to when you are trying to upscale or downscale these features for different applications. So basically, I don't want to conclude anything. Basically, over 15 years, we have learned so little, but there are two big questions. We just want to open this for the opportunities that what we need to know more and better is the better soil moisture process descriptions. Our different scale is still open, and we should keep working. And upscale or downscale measurements based on physical controls need to be done better. And assimilate ground and remotely sensed observation, which is more and more available for various applications. And better understanding of coupled water energy and carbon cycle need to be done in this particular context. So I think with that, I'll just close the thing. Thank you so much.
Hi, very nice presentation. I specifically like the segregation of factors at different scales. My question has to do with that 3D simulation that you did. We're talking about skin surface soil moisture measurements, right?
For the remote sensing.
You basically match the surface, the skin of the surface moisture sample, right?
Mm-hmm. The top part, but also we do simulation to go deeper. In the simulation part, we also match with some of these PDR observations at certain locations where we have those.
Yeah, but when you do fine graining, you start with an image from SMOS or some other platform that is basically sensitive to the skin.
Right.
So in your simulations of topography, have you actually looked at the energy balance on the surfaces? Because if it's a north spacing or south spacing, it would be completely different.
Even though we have not seen that distinctly, but if you see the pixels what we have used, they're all different combinations. These fields, they're all with different combinations of topographic features. So that also includes different aspects and different orientations. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to compare individually to see under these different complexities how the soil moisture and the fluxes are varying.
It is a boundary condition.
It is a boundary condition, yeah. That is true.
Yeah. In the examples you present about the horizontal and the LOR, and I see the final model have a relative higher prediction than the causal. So we always start. So do you consider any parameters you can adjust in these models? And also, why didn't you compare the
That is what, going back to Danny's question, some of these measurements are only skin, and some of these measurements are deep, simulations are deeper. Going back to the previous questions, why this coarser versus finer?
I mean, the finer modeling has always had a higher prediction than the coarser modeling. So maybe there is some parameters you can adjust.
Yeah, well, that is what we are actually trying to do. But in some occasions, we don't want to force the parameter just to fit the data. We wanted to see that whether these parameters are capturing the trends as we proceed. So we try to keep the same scaling law that we have developed for all these different scales and try to see whether they work or they don't work. So that is more like not a calibration exercise, but more to understand the processes. Yes.
For the topography, there's a many factors you can represent the topography, like elevation and wetness index. Have you tried to find, a better topography index to represent your surface measurement?
I just presented in 3 slides, but this is like a whole dissertation. Yeah, everything is included there, a bunch of papers there also. Yeah, the CTI, the complex topographic index, that includes the topographic features and scale, the DEMs, as well as your slope and aspect. We have developed a new index and tried to compare that and show that also. But I didn't get the opportunity to show here. Yeah.
So I have one question. So are there good techniques for determining soil moisture in that 1 or 2 centimeter depth versus typical probes, which you're going to sample deeper? Yeah.
That is what I always appreciate Danny's presentations and always the inspiration here. That is why I said no conclusions here, only opportunities. We know so little. And there are certain needs that particularly the soil moisture, when you go to the TDR, only we get a centimeter scale number. When you go to this remote sensing, only the skin number. So is there anything better we can do? And there is a lot of opportunity to do this way. And we are trying to do through some other indirect ways by assimilation, modeling, etc. But maybe there are some experimental side of things that need to be investigated. And actually NASA is looking for some more algorithms, more different other techniques to go deeper. And So that is why it is open for the public to grab and get going.
Great. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.